Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows, shows, show, shows, and tell.
Hello. Welcome to Shows and Tell. I'm Reese.
I'm Julia.
I'm Talia. Nope.
Well, how will we? Okay, wait one second. We're keeping this in. We have never once done this correctly. Let's. We should have a system in place where it's like the person presenting, and then we should always have an order. So it should. Let's do Talia, Julia, Reese. So since I'm presenting today, Talia goes first, and Julia. But if Talia's presenting, it goes Julia then me. And if Julia's presenting, it goes Talia then me.
I'm not gonna remember that.
Okay.
Okay, so then Reese does the intro, and then I go, and then Julia goes, and then you go.
Yes.
Again. Okay, let's do it.
Ready? Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hello, and welcome to Shows and Tell.
All right, all I hear is, hey guys, it's Reese again.
Okay, you know what? I'm Reese. damn it.
No, I'll go. I got it.
No, I was good with that. I'm fine with that. We'll keep that in.
Okay, well, I'm Talia.
I'm Julia.
And this is Shows and Tell. This week, we're discussing Squid Game.
I like to call it Squid Games.
You know, that has been bothering me for over a week now. Julia refuses to refer to it in the singular.
I know what it's called. I just think it sounds better, plural.
Okay, then sign a deal with Netflix and they'll give you...
I'm actually on her side in this one.
Why?
I think I'll call it what I want.
Squid Game is the game that they play. It's not, the whole thing is not Squid Games. They're not.
I know, but since it's a series of games and it's not just one game, if it was one game, then Squid Game would make a lot more sense to me. But since it's, what, five games?
You don't know, I feel but like Squid Game Squid Games. Is the final game that they play.
Okay, I watched episode one only, so I don't know that. Okay, fine.
It's not intuitive.
Okay. Regardless, we're discussing Squid Game. If you haven't heard of it or seen it, I don't know what to tell you. It's the biggest show in Netflix history. if you haven't heard of it, you're doing something wrong.
I don't think people would have found our podcast if they didn't know what Squid Game was. Like, I don't think those people who'd be listening to us.
No, I know. But, like, I'm just saying, for that, like, maybe there's, like, one listener who's like, oh, I actually don't know what Squid Game is. Like, stop listening. This podcast isn't for you, man. Basically, yeah, Squid Game has been, like, since September, like, the hottest. It literally, I'm going to discuss this, it just yesterday left the top 10. So for two straight months, it has been in the top 10.
No, Netflix, I went, like, today, and it was on the top 10.
Wow.
Oh, is it back?
Yeah, it was number 10.
Okay, because it fell out of the top 10 yesterday. It might have come back in.
Okay.
But yesterday was
the
first
for two straight months.
November 20th was the first day that it had left the top 10 since its release, which is absolutely insane. But yeah, no, it's worldwide phenomenon, transcended all cultures, massively popular in 90 plus countries. So I'm excited to discuss it. But first, a little personal catch up. How are you guys?
I'm good.
I'm enjoying. I think I'm the only one here. I'm really enjoying the weather. I really like the cold.
You're a psychopath.
No, but no, I'm on your side, Talia. I get to wear turtlenecks.
I know that you
and
are,
sweaters
but
and coats.
Most people aren't.
I am not a fan of the cold. I was actually talking to some people about this today. I was in New York winter 2020, and I just, like, really have a lot of trauma from outdoor dining, and I decided that I refuse to do it this year. And I will go to the measure that if I show up to a restaurant and they tell me that, like, I can't sit outside for whatever reason, or I can't sit inside for whatever reason, I have to sit outside, I will just leave.
Good. Yes. Okay.
All right.
That sounds great.
They don't want you there anyways.
My main issue, though, isn't, like, how cold it is. It's how dark it is and how early. I hate winter.
Yeah, but that has been – I just feel like people who complain about that, it's like, that's every year. Like, you know it's coming. That doesn't even – coincide with, like, the climate. Like, even places like when we were in New Orleans, like, it was still,
even in LA, it's getting darker earlier. Yeah, it'll be warmer,
not as early as here though.
I just feel like maybe that's my grievance, but we can talk about it at the end of the episode. But
yeah, no, we'll
I
get
wanted to,
grievances.
To just say that yeah. My update is formally that I am actually really enjoying the cold. It just makes me, I grew up in New Jersey, like we went to school in New Orleans. I feel like mm-hmm. I'm back in the Northeast cold weather for the first time in 5 years, and I'm feeling comfy and comforted.
Yeah, yeah. Talia's return to her natural habitat.
That's exactly how I feel.
I think my outlook would be different if I had a normal winter last year. My winter last year was just so traumatizing that I never wanted
to. You had a pretty horrendous 2020 winter. I do acknowledge that for you.
It was rough. It was rough.
Yeah.
Did you?
Not even in terms of like things happening in my life. It was just a dark time, I feel like, for everyone.
Well, you were working at home and you were living alone. So that's very difficult.
Yeah, it was rough.
And I wasn't there to hang out with you all the time.
I know. So sad.
So that was really
sad.
That's
true. Points have been made.
How are you, Reese?
I'm pretty good.
I feel like you're fan-freaking-tastic.
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I had a little bit of a cold this past week, so my nose has been congested. I got like combined like 6 hours of sleep the past few nights just because I can't breathe. But besides that,
you need some Vicks.
I know I do. But last time I got Vicks bath salts and I put them in the bathtub and then I didn't let them dissolve, so I sat on it. My butt went all numb. It was insane.
What? Reese is the only person in all of Manhattan to take a bath in his rented apartment.
All I like is to stew. I just like to sit there and smolder in heat. And I just sit there and wallow in my own water. No.
Do you have one of those trays?
No, but I actually talked to my roommate, Drew, about getting one. I don't know. Just like eat strawberries. I don't know.
Maybe I'll get that for you for the holidays.
Champagne? Strawberries and champagne in the bath?
Can we do Secret Santa?
Yeah.
Sure.
Would that work?
I mean, yeah, it would work.
Okay.
We also should do like a Jewish version because we're all Jewish.
Okay.
We could just do a gift exchange.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
If I got Reese, I would get him a pair of scissors as a backhanded way to tell him to cut his hair.
Why would you say that? That's really mean.
Just to get a rise out of you. I don't mean it at all. I just know you're going to be upset.
Hey, do you know what? You're like that in The Grinch. They got him a razor because he has a beard. So you're the bully from The Grinch. Yeah.
My roommates actually do say that I am like the Grinch because I'm just like not the biggest Christmas fan because I don't celebrate Christmas. No.
Sounds anti-Semitic.
Of them. Even though one of them is Jewish, it's still anti-Semitic. I agree.
No, it's self-hatred. Yeah, it's like the Jews who like join the Nazis. It's self-hatred. Right.
We're 8.5 minutes in and we've already mentioned Nazis once. Maybe we should start talking about the TV show.
Oh, they're coming up 3 or 4 more times. But besides not being able to breathe through my nose, otherwise doing great. No complaints. Yeah. Doing well. So Squid Game, very excited.
Okay.
I watched it at the height of its craze, like when it had first come out, like Twitter was going nuts. Saturday Night Live was doing their sketches about it. And, you know, it was everywhere. Memes, everything. I just wanted to know, what about you guys?
So I've seen the first 6 episodes. I think there's 9 total, so I'm almost done. But I watched the first episode a while ago when it first came out and like all the hype was about it. And then I just never got around to watching the rest. Last week I was on the plane and I downloaded the first 3 and I just got super into it again. And yeah, I really like it. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me to get into shows where the episodes are kind of long and there's a lot going on. But I really liked it. I really like psychological movies. I like really like gory things. So I'm a fan. It's not my favorite show on the planet, but I like it.
All right. T?
So I actually asked Reese if I could not watch this one. And he said no. And I was a little upset.
No, not after The Mandalorian. It's not allowed. I'm never like, no, I don't care. Like I had to watch Dance Moms.
I should stand by the fact that that's a good show.
No, if I have to sit through Dance Moms, you have to watch good TV.
Reese, it's different. It's different. It wasn't that I didn't want to watch it because, like, I didn't think I was going to, or, like, not like it thing. I think, like, not being into, like, blood and gore is a different thing. So
Different beast. Different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only, like, bloody gory show that I've been able to handle has been American Horror Story, because I've spoken about this before. I loved that first season and I like loved the plot enough to be able to handle those scenes. And okay. then I probably would have watched Squid Game, because when a show gets as much recognition from everyone, like a Netflix, a big like fat Netflix show that's super successful, I'll always watch those. But all I ever heard was, it's just so gory, it's so gory, it's so gory. And then I was just like, I can't do that then. If like that's all I'm hearing, then I'm just going to be like anxious the whole time, just like nervous and on edge, and it's not going to be pleasant. So I made Reese tell me the parts to fast forward.
I gave her time codes so that she could skip over the big gory scene in episode one.
Yeah, so I watched it, and like obviously the majority of episode one was not that. Like there was...
It's not the games.
Yeah, yeah. But I did not enjoy, I have to say. I just was still like, I just still was like on edge. And even besides the blood and gore, like I personally, I just wasn't into it. I just didn't.
I feel like you don't get enough in the first episode. I feel like the first episode just gives background that you need to know for the rest of the show.
I was going to say episode one, I love so much because it is just like a perfect setup episode where it's like you're introduced to everyone. You're given small glimpses into everyone's lives and everything, but you know that 2 through 9 are going to be everything that you're like, why you're staying for the show. I'd be curious to see if you liked 2 and 3. Yeah.
My question is though, why am I staying? Because I feel like I know plenty of shows that everyone loves and it's like, oh, it's a slow build. You have to keep going, blah, blah, blah. And like, here's the reason. And I just, besides that, like, it's amazing and there's blood and gore. That's like, that's what I've heard about it.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think...
And the commentary on class, which I'm very interested to hear, like...
Yes.
More explanation behind it that I'm sure you'll give.
That's going to be... Yeah, that's going to be a lot, of what I'm discussing. But, like, I don't know. I think it's just a very good story. Like, just straight up, the plot itself is wonderful. It can be predictable at times.
I thought the acting was good.
Yeah.
The acting was great. No, the acting was great.
It's very suspenseful.
Yeah, no, it just does everything right. Like, I don't really have many, like, there's really no problems that I have with it. And, like, the gore, I don't think is gratuitous. I think it, like, helps with the plot, where it's, like, in episode one, when literally, like, how many people, like, a couple hundred people die, they get shot. Like, we need to see the gore, because we need to know how everyone feels. Where it's, like, if we don't see that, when the characters are like shell shock after, we're, you know, we get why they're so freaked out. And I don't know, the gore is not there for gore's sake, whereas it's like an actual piece of the story that helps us get into the character's shoes and feel what they feel and feel the stakes. So, which is why I'm okay with it. But like, I get what you're saying, where there's certain horror movies where it's like, okay, we don't need 2 gallons of blood because it does nothing for the plot. It's just, you know.
I am happy that I watched an episode. Like, there was something that was a little unsettling for me that everyone was talking about it for 2 months straight and I hadn't seen it at all besides, like, TikTok references.
It really has been, like, a cultural zeitgeist where it's, like, it is still relevant today. Like, I'll still hear stuff about it just daily.
Yeah.
And it's...
So I'm happy I watched it.
Like, yesterday, like, the whole Chrissy Teigen stuff. Whatever, people are talking about it.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that too. Yeah. So we're going to cover it all. We're going to hit all the bases, folks.
Start it off, Reese. I'm excited.
Just to start out, basic info about the show, called Squid Game. It released on Netflix September 17th of this year, 2021. It's only 9 episodes long, ranging from 32 to 63 minutes. And the episode that we watched is Red Light, Green Light. Which is, you know, Red Light, Green Light 1, 2, 3. That's what the episode's named after. And the basic premise is that 456 South Korean people who are in debt are recruited by a mysterious organization to take part in a set of games to compete for a $38 million cash prize. It's a very simple premise, and it gives you a start and end point, which I really love, so you know where the story's going to go. X amount of people are competing. X number of people are going to get a prize. And you don't know how many people, you don't know, but you know they're going to get the prize. It was made in South Korea, which has been, like, the past few, like, they've always made great movies and shows, but the past few years, it's starting to, like, actually come to American audiences. Like, I think Parasite really helped pave the way for that. But
yeah,
so it's really interesting to see how, like, content produced and made overseas is doing better than American content. And it's actually something I'm very excited about, because there are so many good shows and movies that have been made outside of America and that just aren't in English that people have not given the chance. And actually, I think a fun way to start is addressing the fact that it's South Korean and wanting to ask you guys whether or not you watched it dubbed or with subtitles.
I watched it with subtitles because I have heard that that was the way to go.
Okay. Huge.
I watched it dubbed. There at one point, I watched it dubbed and the subtitles were on, and they're so different.
Exactly.
But I thought that the dubs gave more content.
Okay. First of all, I just want to flat out say my opinion. The dub is terrible. Like, the performances are horrendous.
It's not great. I mean, it's fine.
It's not good.
Like, the actors' voices are bad?
Like, it's, yeah, like, the actors' voices are, like, I've watched an episode dubbed after I watched it, like, I watched it through subtitles because I love subtitles anyway, but I watched it through one episode dubbed just to see the difference, and it's insanely, it's just insane. But, like, there, a quote from someone who has a podcast called Feeling Asian said, if you don't understand Korean, you didn't really watch the same show. And I wanted to address kind of this thing with subtitles and dubbing, where with this, like, the subtitles, Netflix did not spend, and, like, there's articles on it, did not spend a lot of money on translators for the show. And in general, a lot of big companies do not pay translators well, and there simply are not that many translators in the world who are talented enough at, like, to translate accurately. And, like, obviously, you're not going to get, like, you can't do word for word because it just, there's language barriers. And, like, you know, Korean does not share, like, the romance family of English. But that being said, there is, like, a compromise. But, like, with this show, learning after the fact that some of the words that they missed, like, actually changed the story. Like, characters referring to other characters as things that didn't translate. Like, there's one specific example I think of where the character Abdul Ali calls another character, in English it's translated to sir, but in Korean it's the word for boss. And then he later calls him brother, and it's like this really nice, like, nuanced way to refer to see how, like, the way they regard one another changes and how they become equals. And it makes the betrayal of in episode 6, Juge, which you saw, all that more, like, painful for the viewer to watch. And it's, like, these small things which people could write off as just, like, oh, you know, it's, like, it's one, two words. They add up when it's, like, 45-minute episodes. And, like, actual important parts of the story are changed because of that. And it's insane to me that Netflix, which I'll talk about this too, made $1 billion from the show, couldn't even spare, like, a little bit more money to translate. And, like, what's annoying is that, yes, they couldn't have predicted its success, but, like, maybe even if it wasn't that successful, people would have given it a chance had they actually, you know, given the resources to the voice dubbing actors and, you know, translators, where it's, like, they didn't even give it a fighting chance. And now season 2, they're 100% going to spend all the money and, like, but at that point, it's, like, they're only doing that to save face and for profits, which really pisses me off.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you know any examples of a show that's known for being dubbed really well?
No. I don't think dubbing is ever the right way, because it's also, like, with dubbing, you're missing, like, the actors are hired for a reason. Like, the Squid Game actors, I think, are phenomenal with their parts.
Oh, and, yeah,
like,
they were great.
There's something, like, intangible in the performance that, like, does not translate with dubbing, where it's, like, the speech rhythm, tone, stress of, like, it's conveyed through the actor's voice, whereas the dub, they're just reading off of, you know, a sheet of paper, and it's, like, they're not the actors, like, fully committing themselves to the role. They're just being paid to, you know, perform lines. Not to say that, you know, voice dub actors don't take their job seriously. It's just that you're not getting what, you know, you should. I know there is one dub that I do think is pretty decent, which is Spirited Away.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I think the dub for that's all right.
That movie like haunted me as a child. I was so scared of it.
Haunted me.
It's a good
Absolutely
one. It's a very.
Me.
I don't think it's a. It's not really a kids movie. It's more of a. It's a cartoon.
Oh, it's not a kids movie.
It's definitely not. But like,
it shouldn't be.
I watched it as a kid.
I think that dubbing is decent, but like for the most part, I don't think anything should really be watched with dub. It should subtitles. It's what Bong Joon-ho said. When Americans can overcome the 1-inch, you know, text at the bottom of the screen, they'll be open to a whole world of media. But yeah, I guess like to go through, I kind of wanted to talk about just how big Squid Game was. Netflix has said that it's been seen by more than 142 million households globally, which is like an actual chunk of like the world population. Like, if you were to go to any country, you could most likely bring up Squid Game and have a point of like, you know, of discussion, something like to contextualize yourself with them, where it's like, the same thing when I went on Birthright to Israel, they couldn't speak, like some kids there couldn't speak English, I couldn't speak Hebrew, but they said Fortnite and we were able to just do Fortnite dances. It's like it transcends language. It's insane.
I'll do your Fortnite dance.
Yeah,
I'll do that after. but yeah, no, and it's like Netflix too, because they're a private company and they're not cable, they're not tracked by Nielsen, so they only share the numbers that they want. But Squid Game was so big that they're actually changing how they share numbers, which is insane, where it's like now they're giving, like they're measuring differently, where it's like they used to do the 2-minute rule, which was if someone watches a show for 2 minutes, it counts as a complete view. But now they're doing it by hours, so like total hours watched and everything like that. But yeah, like the show for Netflix, it only cost about $20 million to make, which is not much for a 9-episode season. A cheap movie sometimes is made for more than $20 million, but it made apparently $1 billion for Netflix.
That's insane.
Wow.
Some good ROI.
Yeah. So pretty nuts by the numbers. But yeah, the show is absolutely massively popular. And I think the effects it had, like the story itself, I think is great. If you guys want to talk about what you thought of the story and plot, I'd love to hear, because
I personally really like the story and plot. I thought it was really clever the way they did the games. And I really like how the show, I thought it, each episode going in, I thought each episode was going to be like each episode just a different game. And it's kind of like that, but there's so much more other than the games that's shown, which I like. It adds just so much more context to the characters. I think they do a really good job at, you know, showing who the characters are, and just there's so many like subplots too, which I really like.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say the cop storyline I love so much.
Yeah, I looked up what happens at the end because I wanted to know before the episode.
Fair.
Julia's so the type to do that. I never do that.
Oh my god, I always look up what happens. I like it.
Never.
Because it helps me understand it more. And like fully, I don't know. I like it, but wow, that old man.
I fucking know, but
you guys want to tell me?
Basically, it gets revealed at the very end that like the main character's like best friend in the show, the old guy who he takes care of and everything like that, is
with the dementia.
Yeah, is like the billionaire behind it.
You're fucking kidding.
No, not kidding.
I knew something was up.
Like, is the masked guy?
What?
The head of the masked guy?
No,
or
no.
Is this different?
So the masked guy, we learn more about, like, who he is and stuff. And, like, that you know, we don't have to get into. But, like, assuming you watched the show, like, you learn who that is. But he's, like, the funding behind it. Like, the guy that's, like, that the masked guy works for. But, yeah.
Holy shit.
You know, big stuff. But, yeah, no, that's, like, I
would not have seen that.
Yeah, and, like, I like the show so much because, like, it's paced really well, and like you said, where it's like you expect every episode to be like a game, but it's all the stuff in between that makes the games feel all the more important and also makes you more invested, where it's like when they have like the lights out episode where it's like people start dying because they realize that they could kill them in their sleep. It's insane. And yeah, no, and it's like you see these people, and like after the first episode they vote to like leave, but they could come back, and it's like they decide to come back because
that was frustrating.
Yeah, because it's and it's like it's sad, but it's true. Where it's like these people are so in debt and are so fucked by like capitalism and like their country's economy that like they'd rather risk their lives and die for the chance of having money. And like, you know, the story itself is great. The pacing is great. The acting is great. The set pieces, costumes, everything's fantastic. Yeah. But also just the commentary on class capitalism is really good, which leads me to my next point.
Wait,
which
I have two things to say before you get into
Oh, yes. Please.
Okay. One, the one thing I didn't like about the show, especially in the beginning episodes, is you know the guy's going to live because he's the main character.
Some shows will kill off the main character. I wouldn't have been shocked if they killed him.
I didn't think he was going to die before the final episode, but I would not have been surprised if he died in the finale or something.
Did he win?
He wins.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he does win.
He does win. He's the only survivor of all 455 of them. 456.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Does he get his daughter to stay in Korea, in South Korea?
So the very end of the season is him. He's won. It's like a year later. He hasn't spent a single dime of the money that he won. All 38 million is his, and he hasn't spent a single dime. And he's just like this depressed guy. And then when he's finally gonna hop on a plane to go to America to visit his daughter, he had like earlier in that day seen the guy who slapped him in the face do it to another person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He realizes that the game's still going on. So he
gets
off the plane, and that's how the season ends, with him leaving. And I'll talk about it now. I love the ending, and I know a lot of people are pissed off that he doesn't go to his daughter, but I think it's perfect where it's like,
yeah,
he has so much blood on his hands from like partaking in these games, where it's like he can no longer exist in society. Like, he can't be a person in society or who he once was with his family. That's, he can't do it. Like, there's no room for him left.
There are a lot of Hunger Games parallels. I mean, I'm sure this commentary has been made.
No. Yeah, no, and like, people have discussed that. Like, I keep seeing that too.
A lot.
But yeah.
So, I don't know if you are at any point going to bring this up, so feel free. But I'm just curious about, like, the creator and, like, who brought it to Netflix, if you know any of that.
So, the creator had written this story over a decade ago and kept trying to get it made, and no one would give him the money for years. Like, literally years,
okay,
he was trying to get it made. And then they were like, no one wants to see this, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, he got the funding, Netflix, and then it becomes the biggest show ever. Literally biggest show ever. And now he's, like, writing a season two and everything like that. And it's like, give original, like, if companies just gave original stories some money instead of making a reboot or a sequel, they'd be surprised.
Completely on your side.
No, they'd be surprised. And it's like, yeah, no, it's not safe. But when you're like a multi-billion dollar company, it's okay to take a risk every now and then. And like, if this isn't evidence enough, like a South Korean, you know, drama show is the most popular show in America. Like, people want these stories and people will watch them. Just because, you know, Chris Pratt is not starring in it doesn't mean we're not, you know what I mean? So, aggravating. But going off the point of like how big it is and like how it's a critique on capitalism, I wanted to discuss capitalism and how people keep missing the point.
Let's discuss capitalism.
Yeah. So, I just kind of wanted to hear what you guys had, you know, like, seen in the news about it. Like, Juju had mentioned Chrissy Teigen. Like, if you guys want to talk about that, please, just go ahead.
Yeah, here's my thing with the Chrissy Teigen thing. I get how it's a commentary on capitalism and, you know.
Could you explain what the Chrissy Teigen thing is?
Yes, please? So Chrissy Teigen threw a Squid Games themed party with all of her rich celebrity friends, and she had also like said ignorant things about like Parasite, and you know, like, she doesn't get that, like, basically it's about her because she's like this like ultra wealthy, like close to billionaire probably, and like, I think it just goes over her head a little bit. My critique against the critique is that, who is she hurting? Like, who is she offending? I don't know. Like, I get that it's a little ignorant and, like, not in, like, the best taste.
I think lower class people is who she's offending.
But like, I don't know.
No,
I don't think people. I don't think people are genuinely offended. If that makes sense, like she's not hurting anyone.
I'm not offended, but it just pisses me off that a show which is about poor people being taken advantage of by the rich is then turned around where rich people are glorifying the poor people who are literally being murdered for the sake of entertainment for the rich. Where yeah. It's like, maybe choose any yeah, other movie or show. Or it's like, yeah. And like, there's other examples of it, which like right now, have you guys ever heard of Mr. Beast?
No.
Yeah. Isn't he
Mr. Beast? Yeah. He's a YouTuber who is like he's like one of the biggest YouTubers there is. Multimillionaire. Interesting content. Like he'll do stuff where it's like, he'll pay his friends to like stay in like a room for 30 days and like give him like $100,000. But then he also is like a super big philanthropist where he's donated literally millions to organizations like wildlife funds, everything like that. Like he gave out tens of thousands of dollars to like a bunch of individuals for COVID relief. Like he gives money back, but right now he is in the process of making a real life Squid Game.
People die?
No, not where people, no one dies, but he has spent $2 million already on recreating the sets. Like all the games, all of like where they're going to stay. And he's getting 456 people to like live and do the Squid Game, like do it. And it's a $1.5 million cash prize. And it's like, it's weird. Cause it's like, yes, he'll be donating, but it's also like,
why,
how do you guys, why? How do you okay? So yeah. How do you guys feel? Cause
I think that's a little good. Unnecessary.
I don't feel good about any of it. And I will add that I saw on LinkedIn, of all places, that Netflix did a promotional event that was like a little mini like Squid Games party where people could like participate in games and blah, blah, blah. And all the comments on literally LinkedIn were like, this is so insensitive and you're taking something that's so horrendous and graphic and like making it again as a promotional event for a show that like doesn't even need the promo. Like what really is the point? And the thought of like this guy spending so much money to create that is disturbing. And the thing is that like people are gonna watch it. Like people will watch it. I don't like any of it. It's all missing the point.
Yeah. I think it's weird. Maybe my opinion's unpopular, but like if people want to dress up as Squid Games, like I don't see a problem with that. Like people like the show. Clearly it's resonating with them.
No, that's fine with like wearing the,
like if Chrissy Teigen wants to throw a Squid Games theme party, maybe she shouldn't have like posted the picture from it or whatever, or like maybe she shouldn't, you know, publicize it, but I don't think she's hurting anyone with doing that. And it's maybe like whatever, I wouldn't do that. Like I don't think it's like in the best taste, but I think that like people can like celebrate the show and promote it.
Okay. But okay, so then let me pose this. If profits from this, his like thing, are going to, you know, fighting the homeless or like something like, you know, charity.
Yeah.
Does that justify it in any way, or is it still sure. null?
A little more.
Okay.
I'm thinking, because I didn't watch.
Yeah, what's up, T?
I didn't watch the whole thing. So it's not, I don't think I can give my opinion as properly as you guys can. I am imagining if in 2012 era, like celebrities were putting on like, we're having like a party where they like dressed up as members of the Capitol, like from Hunger Games. And then like maybe like half the party was the Capitol and half the party was people from the districts celebrating, like doing faux Hunger Games. That is disturbing to me.
See, also, I don't think that's weird. I think that's like, I don't think that'd be weird. I think that's like, it's the Hunger Games. It's a movie. Like, yes, it's a commentary on something that's in real life, but it's a movie.
I know, but the point of the movie. Also, I love that we're having a difference of opinion over here.
I don't know. For me, I'm just not offended by anything that, like...
Oh, that's different.
By any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, also you have the example, like, James Charles and, like, some of those, like, makeup YouTube people. They did, like, they recreated a Squid Game and, like, all the profits, like, whoever won the event, $10,000 went to, like, the charity of their choice. And it still, it feels, it just, part of me is like, yes, this is good. Giving money to charity is always good.
Yeah.
But part of me does still feel weird about
Yes.
There are other ways.
I think to, it's worse that like companies are selling like Squid Games merch. Like, I think that's worse than someone having like a Squid Games party.
I think that's better.
So this is, yeah, this is something else I wanted to talk about where it's like, that was celebrities missing the point, but then there's a commodification of Squid Game where it's like, already we have a pop-up shop in Paris, Funko Pops, they've done a Squid Game thing now, and it's like Halloween costumes, and then, please listen to these numbers, sales for white slip-on Vans spiked 7,800% after the show's debut.
That's kind of funny.
Which is the shoes that they wear on the show, which is absolutely insane. Candy, the candy that they do for game number two, where it's like they cut it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those went up. Those sales went up 250%. And then Netflix started a partnership with Walmart, and which is so interesting because like Walmart is like one of the worst companies in America, where it's like they'll literally give their employees part-time wage so that they're not, they can't get full-time benefits. And it's like they're profiting off of this. Like Netflix and Walmart are profiting off of a show talking and making fun of like these big corporations. And yeah, but please.
Okay, my comment is that yes, like this is a movie like talking about how like poor
it's
people
a show.
Okay, you know what I mean? It's a show about how poor people are like exploited. But at the same time, it's a movie that's like trying to make a profit that's being sold to Netflix. Like, all in all, like, I just feel like, where do you draw the line about, like, I don't know. I think the Walmart thing is a little sus. Like, that to me is the worst thing out of all of this.
Or it's like, the Walmart employees would be the people competing
literally.
In Squid Game. Like,
literally.
Which is, like, is missing the point by so much. But, like, how, like, Disney, like, makes a good chunk of their profits from sales and like merchandise and, you know, licensing agreements and their theme parks and stuff. So I do get it, but it is once again, just like completely missing the mark where it's like, sure. With like Netflix doing this with Stranger Things, that's great. Or it's like Stranger Things is fun and cool, but like also Stranger Things is basically three seasons of commercials. Where it's like they partner with Coke, they partner with like a Baskin Robbins, everything. But it's like Squid Game, I just feels like something that maybe be a little bit more considerate and give it a little bit more thought. I don't know.
Yeah, my other thing is that people, I feel like people like do this with real things too. Like Tiger King, for example, like everyone was dressing up as Tiger King for Halloween. That's like a real person that could have murdered someone.
Yeah.
Like I think that's worse.
There's a problem with people like, also, like, America's true crime obsession, the Ted Bundy obsession. Like,
yeah, I think that's so much
T,
worse.
No, yeah, no. T, please, yeah, please can go more on this because I want to hear this.
There's an issue with people over-glorifying murder. Like, it's a, like, true crime is very popular right now. Like, some people, like, I went through a stage of listening to this podcast called My Favorite Murder, and it was basically these two women who would just like go over a murder, like two murders per episode. And I played it for my brother one time in the car and he was like, turn this off. This is disturbing. Like, I don't want to listen to this. And also just with the many, with the many Ted Bundy specials they've made and like with them making Zac Efron Ted Bundy and he was hot, like that was a problem. Like there is a general problem that is disturbing of like certain types of content being made and then people putting it into the wrong context and like missing the point of it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with
it's that. Just like, where do you draw the line?
I don't know where you draw
and
the
it's
line.
It's tough because like, we're, yeah, Gen Z is a generation that like jokes about everything, which is like something I appreciate that we're able to laugh. But then there is that like, that nagging in me that is like serial killers and stuff like that. There's victims whose families are still alive. And, you know, like, people joke and be like, you guys are going to laugh, but like, choke me, daddy. And it's like, yes, we want to laugh, but it's like also.
But people were choked.
But like, people literally killed. And it's like, it's the same thing with Squid Game where it's, yes, it's fiction. And it's like, yes, we should appreciate and we should parody it. And, you know, that's why there's literally parody law that we can make fun of things like this. But it's also like, I feel like it shouldn't lie on the people, but rather companies. And it's like Walmart, like all these kind of companies. And even you could argue Chrissy Teigen, when you're at that level of person, she's a corporation in herself, like in and of herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree she's with a brand. You. Chrissy's always problematic though. And
yeah. And that's the thing where it's like, if we want to make fun of Squid Game, like, okay, you know, like but it's once again, I feel like having to take into account who's doing it and the context. But yeah, like you hit nail on the head there, T. But like, yeah, the serial killer stuff is insane. And I feel like it's the same thing where
yeah,
people try to commodify.
I think it's just hard to say like when something is entertainment and then when it goes too far. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's a slippery slope.
And like,
it's a slippery
if you
slope.
Think about it, like, I keep bringing it back to Hunger Games because that's what I know. Like, that was tough. That was like a kid's, like a teen phenomenon. Like, that was a really tough subject matter. Like, it.
I think that went over a lot of kids' heads.
It went over a lot of kids' heads, and they were glorifying it. And they could have made it a little more adult and maybe taken it a step further and maybe made it like rated R so that it wasn't so centered for kids, but it was so successful in its centering of young kids and or young adults, I should say.
I think it's important though because the kids grow up like us. Like we grow up and like, you know, now we can look back on it and, you know.
It's just interesting. And I think we can just like take it a step further to talk about like what the content that we see all the time, the fact that it has on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because our brains are, like, so stimulated. Like, we hear or read all this crazy news, like, 24-7, and then, like, nothing shocks us anymore, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's also that where we've, like, as a society, have become completely desensitized to, like, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is, like, a joke on TikTok right now, where it's, like, people are, like, me in fourth grade watching a beheading video, and it's, like, I remember that. Like, my friend was, like, in, like, when I was, like, 8, would show me, like, oh, man, did you see? And I'm, like, no, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very interesting, yeah.
And we have like dopamine like rushes all day because of social media.
It is very odd. And we're the guinea pig generation. We'll see the effect. We're
definitely gonna be fucked up. We're gonna be so fucked up when we're old.
I think TikTok is gonna do crazy things to our I can already tell it's done crazy things to my attention span, but I think it's gonna just our generation, it's just gonna get nuts.
And it's like, and it's tough too, where it's like, you guys make videos too, but like I make videos as well. And I change how I edit videos because I know how like people watch, where it's like, I'm a big believer in like long shots where it's like these long takes where like 5-6 seconds before a cut. But like on TikTok, it has to be like 2-second clips to keep the attention span. And it's like, if you're not hooked in the first 2 seconds, people leave. And it's like, I love a movie that like 30 minutes in, I'm like, where is this going? And then 45 minutes and I'm like, ah, here we go.
We're just so used to instant gratification.
Exactly. And it's like, people don't give anything a chance. And this is leading into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is American expectations for shows, movies, and just consuming content. Where like, a lot of the complaints I've heard about the show from like Americans are like, regards to the end with the closure, where it's like, at the very end of the show, the main character dyes his hair bright red. And people are like, why does he do that? And it's like, we don't need an answer. Like, he doesn't need to tell us, like, I dyed my hair red because it symbolizes my anger. And it's like, maybe he dyed his hair red because that was the only control he has over anything in his life anymore. Maybe he was angry. Maybe he had just lost touch with who. It doesn't matter. But it's like, Americans have such a specific way of consuming content that they need it to fulfill a certain thing. And it's like, people want to know what happens once he gets off the plane. And it's like, I really don't want a season 2. I don't want to know what happens. And I like the idea of...
I don't think it needs a season 2.
It doesn't. But like, Netflix has too much money. And it's like, they're going to throw, you know, a big budget at him. Everyone's going to watch it. And like, it might be good. But it's also like, it's this push to like satisfy everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's interesting too, a lot of South Koreans don't like the show because of some of the reasons Americans do, where it's like, they'll go for like the tear-jerking moments and like the gore. And, you know, it's kind of predictable, the show, where it's like that, the old man plot twist did catch me off guard, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, you kind of knew where
yeah
it was gonna land. Lastly, I just wanted to, like, I think kind of hit everything. I like the unhappy ending a lot. I like that he doesn't end up with his family. I think it works for the show where it's like he shouldn't be like, and that's like the maturity where it's like he's this goofy character the whole show, but like finally at the very end, he's fully matured, even though he's a full grown adult. But like he doesn't belong in the rich world, and he doesn't belong in the quote unquote poor world. He's in this weird in between purgatory that he'll have to exist in for the rest of his life, which is depressing as hell, but like is the honest truth. But yeah, and then Player 67, major crush on.
She's a really famous model, a famous Korean
model who went from like 100,000 followers on Instagram to like 20 something million.
I'm sure.
Great for her. Yeah, I think this was her acting debut.
I was gonna say, yeah, and now she's like a signed ambassador to like all these brands, and
she's a queen.
She is my queen. but yeah,
Player 067, if you're listening to this, if you happen to be listening to Shows and Tell podcast, hit up that guy with the movie.
Yeah, it'd be great for you to come on and talk to us. But yeah, that's what I gotta say about that. Do you guys have any other thoughts about Squid Game? About like the craze, the memes, anything else you wanted to add?
I love the TikTok sounds.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh yeah.
I just love the imagery from the show. Like it's so recognizable, which I think why people are having these Squid Game parties, because it's great.
I'll give you that.
When you see anything from the show, like the colors are great, the set pieces are awesome. Like they knew what they were doing. Yeah, T.
You want my closing thoughts?
Yeah, if there's anything
else,
should we
do a character comparison?
Yeah, I would character compare, but I think Reese really needs to. I mean, I guess actually, Julia, you've watched the majority of it. I have no closing thoughts. I'm glad that I watched an episode. As I said, I feel like I learned a lot from the discussion. I liked that we had a little debate. I always love that. Also interesting, I feel like when was the last time that like Julia and I disagreed on something? I kind of love that for us.
Yeah.
So
I think it's good for us.
Good app. What do you think about character comparison?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's many characters that are that great. Like, which is one, like, Abdul Ali, I think, is, like...
They all suck.
No, they don't. They all have their faults, but, like, they're all so unique. I feel like it's very tough to compare.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give you guys someone who has something that makes them really shitty.
I don't know if you know this, but the rule in the podcast, actually, when you guys signed your non-existent contracts, said that we do have to character compare. No matter what.
So. We do. Fuck.
We do have to do it. Okay. So.
I think I'd be player 67 because she's super cute.
I don't know. I feel like we're not really like any of the characters.
No.
You gotta compare.
We have people. Okay. Juge would be Jae-yong. She's the one who, what's it called? Is like friends with player 67. And she's the one who dies in the Marvel game because she has nothing left to live for. She like doesn't give any fucks. She was very funny. I actually really liked her.
Yeah.
I liked her character a lot.
Yeah, I like her too. Okay. I guess that's fair.
Similar energy.
I guess. Yeah. We can go with that.
T, I'll actually give you player 67.
All right.
That's a compliment. No, she's a queen. She's like a badass. She's a North Korean defector.
Yeah, she doesn't take shit, and like she really cares about her family, and I feel like that relates to you.
I'm tearing up over here.
Yeah. And then I guess, who would you say for me?
I don't know. I like.
Part of me wants to say the cop character.
Yeah.
Because he's like, go against the system. And then also, I kind of think, I don't want to say the main character.
Okay. I was going to say maybe the main character, because I feel like you kind of like, I feel like when you're provoked, you get like angry and you like fight back. And I feel like that, like, he kept getting provoked in the beginning and.
That's the thing. He's a survivor, and like, I do think at the end I am like him after he's been stripped of all happiness. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, guys.
Overall, Squid Game, great show.
Yeah, are you next?
I'm next, yeah. Do you have any grievances before I speak about what I'm doing?
Oh, I have a bunch.
All right, maybe let's do one.
Yeah, I'll consolidate. Yeah, who wants to start?
You can go first.
I don't want to go first.
I don't have my grievances, and I don't know. I'm honestly pretty good
right now. I'll tell you guys mine, okay. But it has since been resolved, but I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
My grievance is mice. I cannot recall if I have mentioned my apartment issues on the pod. I live in a 6-floor walk-up in the East Village, which so I'm guess I'm asking for it, but like we've had a fire in the basement of our building, we've had mold in the bathroom, we've had leaks on the ceiling, we've had we've all had COVID, that's a separate issue, but like we had mice, we had a little mouse problem. At first it was like a little funny and we were like, oh, Remy, ha ha ha. Turns out there were many, many Remys. And it was just absolutely fucking horrendous. We haven't seen one in a week, but we were seeing like a couple a day, a couple as in like 4 sightings a day, not to gross out the listeners, but it was really awful. And I'm praying.
Did you have to bring in exterminators?
Yes, we did. I'm praying to the landlords in heaven above that our next apartment is merciful because we need it. It's been really fucking bad. That's it.
Good vibes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, mice is a good one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But mine's just going to sound bad now.
What's yours? Okay, well, I think you can say something bad after you gave us so much shit for our grievances last time.
Well, what were your grievances last time?
The Harry Styles concert. We don't have to go
into it. No, last time we just said that mine was post-concert depression and Julia's was traveling, and then you said that your grievance was our grievances.
No, that sounds like something I would
Of course, and I was like, fuck that. Wow. Like, we're just trying to participate, and we're allowed to be angry at what we're allowed to be angry about. Anyways, what is yours now?
It's tough to choose just one. There's so much to be angry about. Okay. You know what? Okay. I'll give this. People checking vaccine cards. Not everyone checks.
They never look closely enough to like.
I'll show my phone and I'm like, and they're like, good. And I'm like, do you want my license? They're like, no, trust you. And I'm like,
why do you trust me?
I was like, I don't trust everyone in here. Like, I see that kid over there, like, in his Gucci slides. Like, I know that type. I know he's faked his
vaccine. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I came up with this would you rather question the other day. And I want to know what you guys would think or would say. It was inspired. So I was in New Orleans last week and I was at Blue Oak Barbecue. Amazing place. There was actually cockroach on the floor there, but we won't talk about that.
Don't give any free PR to Blue Oak Barbecue.
Blue Oak, if you want to sponsor me, let me know. But so there's this woman in the Blue Oak Barbecue who was wearing a full Gucci tracksuit and like the most horrendous, they were like the Balenciaga Crocs.
Sure.
Like they're so ugly. I'll send you guys a picture. She was wearing that. And she had this, like, mohawk outfit. I'm literally Googling ridiculous Crocs. Like, I'm trying to find a picture of what they look like. They're, like, the platform Crocs.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, so the question that this got me thinking, would you rather have to wear that outfit every day? Like, Gucci, like, really ugly tracksuit and, like, Balenciaga Crocs every day, but you have your dream job and you're really rich?
Right.
Or you can where you have access to any clothes you want for free, but your job is really mediocre and you don't make any money and you're kind of miserable.
The tracksuit.
Yeah, I would wear the tracksuit ironically. Like, I'd be like, haha, you know.
See, I think I would rather have the access to any clothes because if I look good, like, I don't care if I have a shitty job. I'm just like.
And I.
You know?
No, tracksuit.
If it's comfortable, I feel like that's fine. But getting back to my grievance. I don't trust the fact that They're not looking at my car. They're not looking at my license. They're not asking for two proofs of ID. Like, I went to bars that have been more particular and anal about, like, a license than these people are about COVID, which is that could be life or death. And it's like, I don't trust, like I said, the guy, the finance bro, sitting at the coffee shop who, you know, I'm...
You fucking shouldn't.
You know.
Some of them...
No. He's going to a 60-person pregame in Murray Hill. No. I need to make sure.
My grievance is Murray Hill in general.
I need to make sure that he's vaccinated, and I want to check his card. So
Reese, start offering freelance. Wait, Reese, you should really start offering freelance vaccine checking services. Like, that's such a good.
Yeah, business. No. Like, I'm just gonna go to like restaurants, and they'll be like, "Do you work here?" I'll be like, "No, but I'm here to protect." I'm like Batman, only lame.
I love that.
Yeah, like a vigilante for respiratory illnesses.
Great.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, I have many, but I'll save some for next week.
Yeah, let's have you just do the one this time. But I liked it. I agree. I will speak about the fact that I am hosting the next app, and I'm doing Succession. Have you guys watched Succession?
Okay, I couldn't get into it, you guys. I couldn't get into it.
It's fine. It's not the, like, I get if you couldn't get into it, but Julie, I couldn't get into it. Reese, have you watched it?
I'm so happy because I have been looking for an excuse to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. And everyone talks to me about it, and I'm like, I don't watch. And they're like, what? You need to watch. And I'm like, so now I think I'm actually going to start it so I can finish and catch up.
So, pilot.
Give me the pilot so I could at least have.
Let's
time.
Do pilot. I'm on season three. I have a couple episodes left, but let's do pilot. I'm really excited. I think it's really timely. I think it's a fantastic show. It's one of my favorite scripted series that I've watched as of recent. And yeah.
Also the theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I love the TikToks.
It's the best. It's the best. It's the best ever. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about it. That's a good one.
Hey. This is good. That's it. Yeah, this is a real, that's two big shows in back to back.
Yep.
I think I'm gonna do you next.
Great. Wow. We're killing it.
Yeah. No. We're killing. Yeah. And then
I love you.
I'm trying to think. Then we'll have to go back to like.
Then I'll do another reality show for that.
Do we do like a holiday episode?
Yeah. Is there a show that's about holidays?
Wait, can we do a special holiday episode that's not hosted by one of us? That's just like a group thing?
A round table.
Yeah, what's a holiday show?
We can review different...
We could do a movie.
No.
We'll do a top 10 Christmas movie special episode.
I might veto that. We're a TV show.
It's Flicks and Tell.
Ugh. We'll discuss. We'll discuss all.
We'll rate the best holiday episodes.
Also, guys... Let's wrap, but should we give a DM password for people to DM us if they made it this far?
Password's Krabby Boy.
Can it be Soup Dumpling?
No. Okay, actually, we'll do Soup Dumpling Crustaceans Ahoy.
Great. Soup Dumpling Crustaceans Ahoy. You heard it ahoy, here first.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear my knee crack?
I think that might be the first time that sequence of words has been said in that order.
I think so too. I think that we should be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I was gonna say, we've just pioneered a sentence. I don't think anyone has ever said soup, dumplings, crustaceans, ahoy in that. No.
Oh, and we've said it more
in the past minute than I think has ever been said in history.
Love it. All right, hands in team, signing off. Bye.
Bye.
Do I have to say bye?
Yeah.
See you later, listeners.